Welcome to the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Turk. Join me as we dive into the personal stories of some of the world's best hospitality professionals. We follow the journey of their ups, downs, and wild turns to find out what it truly takes to make it in the amazing world of hospitality. Listener, if you're running a hospitality business, you already know the work doesn't stop. And most of the time, it's not even the guests that wear you out. It's everything happening behind the scenes. That's why I'm really glad to introduce you to Lodgify, our sponsor for this episode. Lodgify is an all-in-one platform that helps short-term rental hosts and hospitality operators stay organized without needing a dozen different tools. You can manage reservations, keep your calendars synced, communicate with guests, and even collect payments all in one place. And if part of your goal this year is to drive more direct bookings, Lodgify also makes it easy to build your own website so guests can book directly with you. Plus, and I love this one, they include free onboarding so you're not figuring everything out on your own. If you like to spend less time managing the chaos and more time focused on hospitality, try Lodgify with a 20% discount on all their yearly and bi-yearly plans with our code THM20. And that's THM20. Now, back to the show. Welcome to another episode of the Hospitality Mentor Podcast. And listeners, today I'm very excited. This is a long way in the making. We've got Denise Dorbeck, the founder of the Regulus Collective, here with us today. Denise, welcome to the show. I'm so happy you're here.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Well, before we jump into all of our normal questions, why don't you just give us kind of like a 30-second or minute of what is Regulus Collective? What are you have founded now?
Regulus is a new age hospitality platform. And as a nutshell, we are a global hospitality investment firm, and we do have some different business lines focusing on technology, biohacking and longevity, and learning and development technology. So just wanted to create this platform to cover different areas in hospitality and mainly focus on the lifestyle ventures.
I love it. All right. Well, offline, I'm excited to talk to you about one of our projects, Baia, that we're building here in Miami on a farm, a local landscape kind of hotel. So very exciting with wellness components mixed in. But this is about your story here. And so I want to jump in like we always do. What was your very first job in hospitality?
Wow. Long story. My journey began in 2000 in Istanbul under Hilton umbrella. And I joined industry straight out of college as a frontline agent. And those first years shaped my entire career path. And I always believe, I mean, the front desk is where hospitality really becomes real. And you don't deal in concepts or strategies. It's more about the people and timing and emotion. Mm-hmm. You kind of learn quickly what service is not about perfection, but it's more about presence and passion. So it was amazing. And at the end of that first year, 9/11 happened and had a major impact on a global business. And as a result, over those 4 years, I had the opportunity to gain very hands-on exposure and experience around the sales and reservations as well. So that was an amazing overall first experience for me. And we were a very close team and almost like a family, I would say. And I was fortunate to start my journey under the leadership of Richard Coelho. He was my first general manager, and his approach to leadership was really inspirational. Very calm, empathetic, and deeply human. And that set a benchmark for me very early on. And even today, I still measure leadership against that standard, I would say. And during that time, an opportunity came up in Edinburgh, and there was a major international film festival happening that summer, and they were looking for a temporary task force. And I asked Richard to send them an email and become a reference for me. And he supported me a lot. And I passed the interviews and I was selected and suddenly found myself in this very historical that was a Hilton still at the time. And it was a great hotel and welcoming the big Hollywood celebrities. And I remember Sean Connery was there, Oliver Stone, Susan Sheridan. Yeah, I mean, as a young person in the industry, it felt really magical. And at the end of that period, they offered me a permanent role. So I decided to join a team. And that was also the time I worked with another incredible leader, Dagmar Mule. And I was very young in the industry, and having such strong and charismatic female leader so early on gave me a lot of inspiration and perspectives. So from there, I moved to London and joined Hilton's first European cluster and their commercial team. So revenue and yield management was just being launched as a formal discipline those years. And I was part of one of the first working groups to receive very structured training. And that moment was probably really pivotal for me, because I intuitively felt that revenue management will become one of the most important and critical forces shaping the industry overall. And I decided to specialize there. And what fascinates me wasn't really probably the pricing part, but it was more about the behavior. So revenue management set really intersection of data, psychology, and of course, the decision making. And even then, I remember we started to see the early signals, like booking windows were shortening, and the rate transparency was a big, big, big topic. And of course, the distribution becoming very complex. And Turkey, time after London. So I returned to Turkey as a reservations and yield department head. And I worked at two of the best city hotels in their respective cities, İzmir and Kayseri. And they were like truly very educational experiences. And I was very young, a leader in a department. And once I felt I had gained enough experience in a city hotel, I really wanted to build more experience in dynamic, outlet-driven resort environment.
Right.
And to do so in a location where service quality really exceptionally high, I decided to explore Asia. So, that led me to Thailand, a resort in Phuket. And I think resorts are really unforgiving teachers in many lands. I mean, demand is super seasonal and guest experience overall, operational dependencies are extremely complex. And this was where I expanded into this spa revenue management and food and beverage optimization. And it was really a total revenue management right for me. And at the time, only a small percentage of global resorts actively applied the total hotel framework. And we were really integrated new tools and best practices across different departments. And it was pretty exciting. And from there, for me.
Well, before you jump further, because we went a long way, I want to rewind a little bit. I see how excited you are, Denise. I want to rewind a little bit because you've done a lot. We talked about your first moves, and you've already gone to four different countries in your first couple of positions. So I want to rewind a little bit, because there's a lot of people out there. All right, they get started, they go to front desk, and they're not sure which way to go. You met a couple of names that were leaders to you. Did they kind of guide you and say, hey, you should look into this revenue management, or you should go into another department? Because I know I stayed away from front desk when I started in resorts. I remember the hotel manager was like, do you want to get yelled at all day at the front desk, or do you want to go run my pool? I was like, I'm going to go to the pool. So that's how my career. So how did you start to choose that way that we were going into revenue management? Because that was, like you said, was new. It wasn't something big back then. I talked to someone that the rack rate was still like on a wall, and you moved, rates around on a wall. It wasn't computerized back in the 80s and 90s, but you came at a time when it started to change rapidly. So my long question, how did you have that decision-making to get into that area?
I was very lucky because I had the opportunity to explore different departments during this 9/11 period in 2001, 2002. Those were the years we focused specifically in a local market because global business was really not there. So as a result, I joined sales team as a task force. I joined the reservations team as a task force. And I did groups and events. I worked as a guest relations agent. It was a relatively small property, and that gave me a lot of opportunity to explore. And of course, I find my way to spend some time with the leaders who inspired me the most. So lunch breaks, and I was asking them to give me just 15 minutes to answer some questions. And I had a lot of guidance. But I think it really depends if you're someone truly career oriented or not. And I was that person. I was made my mind, especially after my first global experience, the international experience in Edinburgh, completely different culture. It was even hard for me to understand the accents, and my English wasn't really advanced. And I was just there, and I was trying to put my 100%. I was extremely passionate, and it was magical. Imagine, I mean, you're checking in, checking out, Oliver Stone in a historical, gorgeous hotel, and you have a very charismatic female general manager. It was too good to be true. But the answer to this question, yes, I mean, I spent a lot of time with the people that I admire and try to understand their perspective and spend some time in the reservation. And it was a chance as well, because I was making this course exposure in the reservations, and they were talking about the revenue management. And it was more called like a yield management. That was the term. And yeah, I mean, so many people pointed the direction. And I thought, okay, I spent this 4 years in the front desk. I learned a lot. Probably it's time to deep dive in the commercial field. So that led me to London.
I love it. So, all right. So we've tracked you now to Phuket, where you make a move. This is another thing I want to cover. You leave Hilton. So you're with Hilton for 8 years. That's a long time to be with a brand. And some people get scared. They get scared to leave, and they get scared to move on. Was that decision easy for you, or was there a leader that went ahead and said, come with me? How did that happen? Or was your family supportive and like, go chase the dreams, Denise, go make things happen?
I'm the only child. By the way, I have no sibling. And I think my biggest chance in life is having an extremely supportive family. So I'm living abroad probably more than 17 years now, almost like 20 years. And I made this pit stops in between. It was amazing. But they really supported me all the way. And that gave me a lot of strength, because it wasn't an easy one. I went to Phuket without even being in Asia once in my life. So that was one way to. And I wasn't really prepared for that experience. But I mean, I think I also listened to my intuition a lot. And when I decided to explore a resort, and particularly in Asia, because I really admired the culture overall. And I just wanted to better understand the cultural perspective as well. And I still remember my regional director tried so hard to find me an opportunity with Hilton in Asia. There was something available in Japan, so it didn't work out. And this one just came out of the blue. And they were looking for a director specifically focusing on the total hotel revenue management. And at the time, Mövenpick wasn't part of Accor. It was a standalone brand. And I just checked the pictures of the resort, and I thought, wow, so many outlets. It looks amazing. My God. Well, so, and they said, okay, just go there, explore. And if anything becomes available with Hilton, you can always come back. It was hard, though, because I opened my eyes with that great culture and great company. And I worked in various different locations, worked with amazing leaders, and they were extremely supportive. And so many of them, they're still with the company. So they're still there. It was a bold move, but now I'm thinking, I'm glad I made that decision. I learned a lot from that journey.
Yeah, I'm curious. In Thailand's known for hospitality. What did you learn there? We'll get to the rest of the journey. What did you learn there is different than maybe Europe and Turkey? What was something that you saw that they did differently? Was it better? Maybe not. Was it anything that stood out to you?
I never experienced any better service anywhere else in the world. I mean it, because this is part of their culture. People put their 100% every single day. And it's extremely authentic. It's natural. It's welcoming. It's different. So that fascinated me a lot.
Yeah, that was something I felt when I was there. I was there 14 years ago now, but I would love to go back. It's just such a long flight. I would love to go back.
I know.
And do more.
You know, it was so nice and magical. And I forget what they used to say, Kap Kung Kam. I remember all this. So great. So you were enjoying your time there. It seemed like you got to learn. You had a shortish time there, right? It was like a year and a half that you were
there.
And then you went to another country and started to learn something new. Tell us about where did you go and what hotel, because this is one of those hotels that I think a lot of people will know.
Yeah, from Asia, I made it was a very conscious move, I will say, to Dubai during a period of this rapid growth, Atlantis, the Palm. It was a very tough experience because it's a huge property and I was responsible for non-room revenue. And it just, the overall, it taught me speed and ambition. But also it was different than any other experiences because I'm coming from very structured corporate culture.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is pretty by the book, you know, how you can find your way. And it was like very precise. It really challenged me a lot because you needed to build something by yourself. And the methodology and the way of working was really different. So not in a negative way, but it was very foreign to me. And that was an eye-opening experience as well because I really needed to work long, long, long hours. I remember our owners, they were in the U.S. There was a huge time difference, and I was the one preparing the daily reports, the pickup and pace and all those things. My day was starting like probably 4:35 a.m. in the morning. So it was a different type of challenge, but I also learned a lot about food and beverage, revenue management, and because it was really important Michelin-starred restaurants and different ones as well, the casual restaurant, the Michelin star one, a nice patisserie, and a dolphin club, for instance, like an aqua park. And kind of working with all those different revenue-generating functions, departments, outlets, it was amazing. It was a great exposure. But the thing was, I was very impatient. I just wanted to learn a lot. I was like a sponge. I just wanted to, you know, learn as much as possible in this short period of time and make sure I kind of observed everything. And yeah, well, Dubai was interesting, really interesting experience for me.
Well, you learned a lot in a short time and then you'd make a move again, right? So you make another move and you're going to a whole different country again, right? So it's amazing to see, you know, like in my career, I stayed in Miami. I just moved from the best hotels up, right? You went to all the different countries to learn.
There is nothing wrong with that.
Well, I've always wanted to. I just never had the guts to do it. I don't know, but I'm very impressed. So you end up in Jordan.
I ended up in Jordan.
Hotels, and you become the area director of revenue. So is that your first time as being the top director of the department?
Yeah, that was the first cluster director role. So it was a small cluster in Jordan. Three amazing locations, Amman, Aqaba, and Dead Sea. And there were like spectacular properties, especially the one in Dead Sea, and which really added a different layer. And working with culturally nuanced and politically sensitive markets, it was really a game changer. And I mean, Jordan is truly fascinating in all means. And I worked with incredible teams and wonderful hotels again. And I really felt home there. And during that period, a regional tension that became known as the Arab Spring had a very negative impact on the overall business. And that was super challenging. And it ended up being a location where I experienced crisis management at a very advanced level as well. So, and we need just to go back to basics and reconnect with the local market. It was completely new direction because it was an exclusive property. We were not even allowing guests from outside to use our outlets. It was that exclusive. But then with that situation, we opened the door, we welcomed the locals, and it was great. It was pretty emotional as well. It was a nice moment and nice connection and worked out very well. But the tension was unbearable at the time.
That going to work every day. You don't know what's going to be booked and the different headlines every day. It can affect the hotels in 2 seconds, right? A headline comes out, cancellations come through. It makes your life very difficult in getting bookings.
I remember in one day, we lost probably like 3 million worth business wholesaler because it was like three different legs of the journey, the Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. If one thing started in one location, that means they need to cancel everything. So it was big.
Yeah, I can only imagine that stress. I don't wish that on anybody. But then you have a nice, really kind of fun homecoming, it sounds like. You get to come back home to Turkey, right? So how did that decision start happening for you?
Oh, my God, it was amazing. At the time, one of our regional director moved from Kempinski to Swiss Hotel, Raffles in Fairmont. It wasn't part of Accor at the time. And he reached out to me one day saying, oh, Denise, we need a good revenue management leader here in Istanbul. And it's a fascinating hotel, amazing leadership. I really wanted to come talk to him. And I was very skeptical because it wasn't my intention to go back to Turkey and be in Istanbul. And I was really hoping to return to Europe at the time. But Jörg, he really insisted. And I thought, okay, he's someone I really adore. And I said, okay, fine. And it was a flagship property, and amazing hotel. And shortly after I joined there, I was promoted to a regional director for entire Turkey and Eastern Europe. And it was a very meaningful homecoming, a great pit stop. And I supported one of the landmark projects, such as Raffles Istanbul, Swiss Hotel Bodrum. And under the leadership of Gerhard Struger, this period became one of the most intellectually formative chapters of my career. And I sharpened my strategic thinking and helped define really the direction I wanted to take in my career. And Istanbul is an incredibly competitive market and home for some of the world's finest hotels. And it's now, even today, it's more competitive than before. And during that time, we managed to become one of the top hotels in the city. And that success and the strong spirit, the team spirit behind it, had a really profound impact on me. And Gerhard, he's an amazing mentor and a role model for me. And I was deeply influenced by his vision, his depth, his leadership style. And during that period, we formed a dedicated running team, all the leaders and some of the team members. And we competed in many races together. And even I ran a half marathon in Vienna, Austria, thanks to that. And I work with the team. I'm still close friends even today. And I'm truly grateful for that chapter in every sense. It was great.
That's amazing. So, and how did it feel being back in Istanbul? Was it like a little strange at first? Like, oh, my, I came all the way back. I've been all over the world. Now I'm back home. Or did it feel so fine because your family was there?
My family, my close friends, they were all there. And they opened their eyes and welcomed me. It was a big welcome. And it was fantastic. I stayed probably like 4 years during that chapter, and it felt like a second. But it was good times. You know, I always say that the hospitality years are like wine years. You have good years, bad years, never good years, 2 years in a row, right? Yeah. So, but when I was there, it was the golden era for Turkish hospitality. And especially for Istanbul, big international events, everything was too good to be true. And that's why the ADR levels, the RevPAR performance, I still remember the metrics and the GOP and NOI levels. Oh my God, it was too good to be true. And we were extremely successful. You know, success was a fuel. We were very motivated. It was great. It was the experience for me.
I love it. And so your bags get packed once more. And you go back to a familiar place and you head back to London. What was the goal that brings you back to London? How does that come up? Were you just ready to get out of Istanbul? Did you have a leader recruit you? What was the story here now? Because you joined Wyndham Hotels and Resorts.
Yeah, well, actually, end of that period, probably about 2014, 2015, it was also a very unstable period for Turkey overall. We had a lot of demonstration and a lot of issues overall in the country. And I just told, I was ready for a bolder chapter. And I was looking for kind of a regional role responsible for more properties. And this opportunity came up. It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was late 2015, yeah, early 2016. And moving back to London meant like moving back to my second home. And the EMEA region was a very new region for the Wyndham organization. And we were essentially building the commercial engine from scratch. So we designed the revenue distribution and commercial services for a portfolio of nearly 470 hotels at the time, wow, operating across London, Dubai, Istanbul, and Gurgaon, India. So we had four different offices, and I assigned four different teams and leaders in each location. And it was intense and very high stakes work. And I was working as part of the senior leadership team. It was my first SLT role in a corporate environment and deeply invested in building something scalable and resilient. And I was very eager and working with, of course, Daniel Ruff, our president at the time, reinforced me that trust, clarity, and long-term vision are non-negotiable in senior leadership. So he was really unbelievable leader. So it was an amazing journey as well, with tons of travel almost every other week, very, very dynamic period. But I had the freedom to try something out of the box. And I really wanted to create impactful solution. And we created this commercial services. In a very short period of time, we ended up having almost like 50 hotels under umbrella, and they started to perform, and we had this growth performance, and it made a huge difference, and it made everything easier. It really helped whole team more deals, and also a US in the corporate office started to ask so many questions. They show an interest. That was a pretty good period, a very tough period, I would say, but that success eventually led me to US in 2018, and I promoted as Vice President of Revenue Management, and I managed a very large team. It was about probably 130 people at the time, and it was more about expanding into change management, restructuring, and I involved so many projects at the time. So we made the La Quinta acquisition, and that was a big transformation for the entire commercial discipline. And I also involved so many different projects, work very closely with the marketing team, with the sales team, the brand teams. And that was amazing. My very first corporate US experience. But then shortly after, unfortunately, COVID happened. Yes. So, and it was a profound reset.
We're yeah, for lost. Everybody.
And the crisis made, it's just surreal still.
Yeah, it's probably about it. You know, all the time.
Almost like
all of them. Yeah. Like right around this time, six years ago. I remember. And it was starting to like bubble up a little bit. But before we jump into COVID, I want to talk about it, because this is an important thing in your career where you become Vice President of Global Revenue Management Operations. And what I think is so cool for listeners out there, and you're just starting your career, or maybe you're further down, is that really, if you just look at Denise's career 15 years ago, she was, you know, doing task force. And 15 years later, she's now in charge globally of all the revenue management for Wyndham Hotels and Resorts, one of the largest hotel brands. What was that like for you? Because I've never got to the corporate level, right? I was always at the property level. But when you get to that corporate level and you have responsibility globally, how are you making sure you're staying in touch with what's going on at all the hotels that you need to make sure are operating at a high level? Because you have all different kind of brands, all different price points. What was your day like? I'm just curious, you know, what is a day like for you? Because that is a pressure position. Like, you need to bring in my numbers. Why are we not getting bookings? How was our pace every day? You're looking at that. What is your day like?
When I first joined, I was responsible for the entire franchise portfolio. So, and I'm talking about 7,000 plus hotels globally. Right. And goal was restructuring the commercial services department and create different layers and revenue management services for this franchise portfolio. And we had various different scales from economy to upper up. And it was more about defining the right product for the market, restructuring the teams, allocating the right properties. And it was a lot of change management. And I was young. I was coming from a completely different background. And it was a big culture shock for me, first of all. And finding this big diversity in the teams and having various different backgrounds and different generations under one team. Gen Z was working with boomers and connecting them together and creating something enduring. It was the toughest part. And it was extremely busy because in order to create this amazing services platform, you need to talk to all the various disciplines around you. The marketing, the digital marketing, and finance, surely, and operations, of course, and all the field teams, and better understand the challenges, what the owners, what the operators are looking for, what's missing, how we can close the gap there. I mean, that really kept me sleepless at night for a long period. It was hard. It wasn't easy at all. And I just thought, okay, there is only one thing really matter. My authenticity. And instead of acting in a different way, I just thought, okay, you are who you are. This is your background. It was extremely successful over there. And you can definitely bring the change. And we can build this together. So, and we did a great job. In the second part of my time in that role, I promoted into this global role. And we restructured the entire team, the franchise. Revenue management services was one team, and we also create another very innovative pillar, also focusing the growth of the services and also focusing more on the learning and development and connecting with the different parts of the organization. So it was wonderful. The biggest challenge was I had probably 3-4 different chief commercial offices in a short period of time. So I was introducing the plan and getting the green light, and needed to change again with a different person. Adapting the new personality, new way of working, it's a challenge alone. But I think my biggest strength is my adaptability, and I did that a lot, and it's natural for me. So if there is a change, you need to adapt, no question, and you need to move on. But then again, unfortunately, COVID happened. We had a lot of great ideas, but everything has changed, and all the hotels needed to focus more in the operations. And that was another big wake-up call for me, I will say.
Yeah, man. So COVID comes, and on paper, I'm not guessing, in my research, was it, hey, thank you very much, Denise, but there is no business right now. You're going home.
And the crisis made one thing very painfully clear without deep operational understanding. Commercial strategy reaches its limits, and there is no revenue available at the time. So, and I knew I needed to step into operations in a meaningful way. So, and there was a big question mark, how I will convince any organization to join their operations team with my purely commercial background.
Yeah.
So, and I was so lucky, and that decision led me to Hyatt during a period of significant restructuring from their end. And joining as a RVP operations gave me invaluable insights into owner dynamics and operational excellence. And I worked with an amazing team there, and they were not even hesitant. They're like, okay, you have a great commercial background, and right now we need to tell this commercial story. That matters the most. And yes, you need to really work hard, and you need to travel a lot. You need to experience different hotels. You need to spend a lot of time with the operational team. But they really trusted me, and it meant a lot. And my operations journey just started like that.
That's amazing. That's what, you know, I was going to ask. It's a big difference in roles. And so you didn't have, it doesn't sound like you had to convince too much, maybe just to get the chance to interview, but it sounds like they convinced you almost. Like, yeah, you're going to be fine. You'll figure this out. Is that how it went?
Actually, I interviewed with 7 or 8 different people. And I think it was a very, very interesting approach because they want me to talk to almost everybody, all the other leaders in the organization, whoever I will work closely with. And it was not only one, but it was multiple different interviews. But I just felt one thing, and I always trust my gut feeling. And I thought, wow, what a great culture. I mean, I really impressed with the energy, the level of energy and enthusiasm. And I thought, wow, this is going to be a game changer. I mean, I was so curious and so passionate to get to know that team better. Because each time, how long it can be, you make like an hour-long interview. And that was my impression afterwards. I really wanted to join that team so much and further out.
No, I really like the brand of Hyatt. And I was lucky enough to have as one of my clients the new Hyatt Andaz in Miami Beach. So I get to help open that with them and do some cool projects, a beautiful place. So if you haven't checked it out, listeners, go check out the Hyatt Andaz Miami Beach. They're doing some great things there. But so you're there and you're in this operations role. And again, like, you know, were there people who were like, oh, Denise has never worked operations as you start traveling around? Like, who is this coming in? Or was everyone very respectful when you started to travel around? Because general managers are very alpha in personality, women and men, and they don't want people on their property telling them what to do. What was it like for you?
I would say it was a very smooth, very educational journey. And everyone, they were extremely welcoming. And it was very smooth. And I had a quite a big portfolio. And in the early stage, I also involved in a lot of pre-opening. And that was game changer. And then we also introduced pre-opening team within our team. But at the beginning, the operations, RVPs were heavily involved in that. It was amazing. And each location, each property type bring different type of challenge. And it was post-COVID era. And you need to be creative. You need to come up something out of the box, something really unique in those markets and be focused really a lot about the experience, the local experience, beside anything else. And the general managers, I think everybody were very motivated because it was a long break for all of us. It was a depressing period and we all wanted to build something together. And the return, it was a great period, but more importantly, just gave me a lot of understanding about the owner's perspective as well. It was more of a relationship management type of role as well between the brand, between the hotel team, the general managers, the field team, and the owners and operators. So it was very communication-driven and transparency-driven role and gave me a lot of perspective. I'm very thankful.
Yeah, it's a great company. You're with, you know, one of the biggest hotel brands in the world. You went back to back with some of the biggest and you got to work with some of the best. And then you make a change. It's a little bit different than a lot of people do. So tell me about the next two positions because you become a CEO for the first time, right?
Yeah.
And you make a big change. How do you decide to do that?
And it just came out of the blue, really. It wasn't planned at all. I stepped entirely outside my comfort zone and became a CEO of a hospitality technology startup. And it was really intense. And that organization started as a technology company and also purchased a small portfolio of hotels, turned around those properties, implemented the new technology, and it was great. But it was very intense as well. But I mean, I just realized building something from scratch reminded me how much I love creation, designing systems, creating dysfunctions and departments and testing assumptions, failing fast and rebuilding smarter. So it was intense. And it also clarified something really important. Technology shouldn't remove friction, but replace judgment, not replace judgment. And technology must be invisible. At the end of the day, hospitality is a human business and full stop. So it was an eye-opening experience in that sense as well.
Well, you got to get your taste of it, and who knows what will happen now. Now that you've got your company, Regulus, how are you feeling? You had a long journey. It was exciting. This is pretty new for you. You started it in November.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about it now?
Oh my God, Steve, I'm so excited. I don't know how to explain. It's just, and I feel emotional as well. It's like after 25 years long journey, and mine was very dynamic because I've been in different locations. Being a founder and bringing my dream into life is priceless. But of course, it's a bold move as well. But I just felt like it's the right moment. It's difficult because it's a very competitive and uncertain market. But I do believe I know what's missing from my perspective. And the Regulus will not be a traditional advisory firm. Hopefully, it will evolve into a platform. And I brought together very trusted partners from inside, but mainly outside for hospitality, because I just thought fresh pair of eyes, different perspectives will really add a lot of value. And they were from different disciplines like design and architecture, branding, biohacking and longevity. I think it will be a top trend in hospitality very, very soon. Of course, technology, personalization is a key for us, and education and coaching. So, this team, they really have this intellectual rigor and the values I deeply trust. So, and I always believe one thing. I mean, first we need to create the value and success will be there. And yep. Revenue will be there, NOI will be there. But our goal is to create something lasting and more important than value.
Yeah, sounds like you're well positioned to do it. You have all the experience in the world. You've done it in many different places, and I'm sure you'll be able to help others achieve their goal. I'm not asking for your crystal ball for 5 years from now, your five-year plan, but what are you most excited about this year? What gets you most excited that you're working on?
Well, I think the most exciting project we are working on is a new lifestyle brand. It's a boutique brand. I always wanted to be a part of this creation process. I know there are so many amazing ones out there, but we just want to make it as unique as possible, mainly focusing the longevity side of it, because we have all the technology to really focus on bio-optimization in the guest room. Why we are not improving the cognitive performance? So many people traveling for business, right? And we have all the tools in the world to make this happen. The circadian rhythm. So, I mean, people are traveling like 15 hours from one continent to another to attend very important meeting next day. And only with the lighting, we can help them. So those are the critical points. I travel a lot, and that was my biggest challenge. We thought, okay, we can just create something really cool, really fun, really boutique, and not really big. I mean, probably like less than 100 rooms in a key locations. But right now, we started the process and we are working as a team to build that.
I'm excited to see what you create. We're doing something in a similar field, which I'll tell you behind the scenes, which I kind of mentioned at the beginning. So I'm excited to see that you're in that space, because I really believe in all of the wellness. I really think that that's going to be the next wave for sure of what people want, because we see it everywhere. All right. So we've talked about your entire career journey. I'm excited for what you're building now. I think you're going to be a home run. I can just see your energy. This is the first time we're talking. I feel like I know you for a long time already. I can see how you lead teams.
I feel the pain.
And so for you, you know, if you could go back to young Denise standing at the front desk at the Hilton and whisper in her ear as she's starting her career some advice, what advice are you giving young Denise?
Wow, it's a tough question. Well, I think I will do the same exact journey, but I wish I had a formal mentors earlier, like consistent ones. I was lucky to work with incredible leaders, but you know, the travel, the time zones and intensity often get in the way of, you know, structured mentorship. And I truly believe that anyone with high ambitions, having a mentor is not optional at all. And I think I will say, don't lock yourself into 5-year answers. That, you know, cliche question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And I asked myself constantly, and luckily I did end up working in every role I imagine. But, you know, the shorter horizons, the clear goals, and the course to revise them, I think that really matters. So this is what I will tell, probably.
All right. I think that's great advice for anybody listening. And for listeners and viewers, Denise just shared so much with us and so many great stories and pieces of advice. I'm sure you found some value. So if you did, pause this right now. Take that and share this episode with somebody, because your friend will definitely enjoy it as much. This conversation with Denise definitely covered a lot. And make sure to go on LinkedIn, follow Denise. She's always sharing great things on LinkedIn. And Denise, I just truly appreciate you spending all this time with us. I know how hard it is to share time as you're building something special. Very grateful you made this happen with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I love it. Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Biscayne Coffee. Biscayne Coffee was founded with a giving spirit and a big idea to enjoy delicious coffee roasted in Miami while helping save Biscayne Bay and the animals that live there. As a former food and beverage director, I can assure you these are some of the best quality beans on the planet. 10% of every coffee sold is donated to nonprofits to help preserve Biscayne Bay for all to enjoy. Visit BiscayneCoffee.com today and use promo code MENTOR at checkout to save 10% on your first order. Drink good coffee and create a good outcome.